nothing to discuss, cause I did win by default and without. 1-2.
Yes.
1-2.
Good evening.
Greetings, folks.
Good evening. Good morning. Good night. Wherever you are reaching us from, you are listening to Soul Perspectives live for the first time since the demic.
This is something major.
From West
this
Haven.
Big man. Listen.
From West Haven. Hold on. Let me introduce
tell
the
him,
show.
Tell him.
If you haven't listened before, Soul Perspectives, we talk about everything blackety black black here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally.
Yep.
And this is a special tonight because we are live from West Haven Community Center. We got our guest host Zip Locks in the house.
What's going on, folks?
You know him from Ill Groove Garden every Sunday evening. And we are doing a special broadcast this evening called Teen Talk that we will be introducing to the airwaves on Soul P starting in August. But this is the tryout.
Well, this is the test run, man. Listen, we've got all this new equipment down here at West Haven, and we decided, yo, let's broadcast something, man. We've got this new podcast idea. We're putting recording. We have a whole bunch of different plans. So Kim and I have been building for the last little while about, yo, what we would look like just broadcasting live. And we monthly do these things called Teen Talks, where I get the teens together and, you know, get some food and break bread and just talk about what's going on in their mind. But now's an opportunity. Black History Month. We got Soul P. Let's talk about what's going on in our community. And absolutely, we have to talk about West Haven because there's been some major improvements. We had a big anniversary that happened, so I said let's chop it up a little bit like that.
Yeah, and I as a child used to go to West Haven.
That's the connection. I didn't even know that before. Yeah. But again, my guy Kim has been here. What age were you here? Like, what were you doing?
We're talking like 1985, 86.
Wow.
We're talking 5-6 years old. We're talking long time ago.
Well, you see, the thing about this space, it's actually been here for the last 50 years. And last year, 2022, marked our 50-year anniversary. And it's really born out of caring for the community. And really, it's called West Haven because it's on the west side of NDG.
Yep.
Kind of the west side of the city, inside the city. Not West Island. We ain't West Island.
Yeah. We don't reach so far yet.
Yeah, we ain't that far, right?
Right.
But it was a space that actually It had its troubles, right? And it had some things going on in the streets where there was a young mother who used to live on the street and said, you know what? I need a safe space for my kids to be after school. Mm-hmm. So basically her and a few of the other mothers together said, you know what? Let's create, whether it be, and it was just at a one woman's apartment building, mm-hmm, that the kids used to come after school and just have a space where the mothers or the fathers would help teach them, give them a little bit of food after school, and they could hang out in a safe space instead of, you know,
sounds real Black Panther.
Yo, trust me. And then because, you know, you didn't have people, you know, there's no other organizations that were doing that at the time. Mm-hmm. And you just could not have your kid out in the street if you're working till 5 and school finishes at 2:30.
Absolutely,
right?
Not.
And again, you got some working mothers that may be working evening shifts.
Yep.
So what do we do? So they opened up that spot, and that just continued to grow and continue to grow. And now I've got to say, we're thankfully here at 7405 Harley, right off of Elmhurst. That's like kind of right in that whole, people call it the Concordia Ghetto, some people, I don't know.
Not this far.
Yeah, I know people call it, no, but it's a Concordia Ghetto from, as in Loyola.
Yeah.
Because it's right near the Loyola campus of Concordia. Got to big up all the students that come and volunteer and pitch in here. But yeah, this has been a space in this space here that, you know, I've been here, wow, I got to say 16 years I've been here.
I've
seen this place grow. And I've got to say, this is the best it's ever been. You know, we had our phases of up and down. I really brought out a music program here maybe when I first started. And I was here. I'd worked in Little Burgundy before at Youth in Motion. I decided to work, and I live in this area. I used to live at Sutton Square right across there. That was my crib. I used to walk past here all the time to the bakery. Mm-hmm. And I got to big up my man Rain because I was walking by here one time with my son and was like, oh, what's the space? And we came in, we talked, and he said, let's come on a field trip. So me and Darius went on this field trip. But then the good thing was that we talked, and he said, yo, we have this team program. Why don't you kind of join in on the team program? I said, okay, so let's get it done. So then on a regular basis, I was here on a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, opening up for teens. And I sat down with these two particular teens one time, and I saw their older brothers. They each had older brothers that was in the street game.
Yeah.
And anybody knows this area, there was a crew. Mm-hmm. And they was getting into things, right?
Of course.
And they, at that time, maybe 13, 14, and, you know, where are we going to go? And intelligent brothers. And I came to them, I said, listen, dudes, you know, what's going to keep you off the streets? Because we had a basketball court and people could play basketball. It was a real garbage basketball court. Remember back when we had a tire, you know, we had a tire and you put cement in it and you put a stick in it. And then, anyway, it was really bad. It was really bad.
It was real sad.
It was really sad. But we upgraded all that, too. Okay. But at that point, I talked to them because, you know, basketball wasn't a thing. And I knew if they started getting into it, they'd get trapped in that game and all kind of things.
Right.
So at that point, I said, well, we'll keep you off the street. And one of them said, yo, I really like writing poetry. I like Tupac. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo. And the other was like, yo, I want to be a rapper too. So I said, if I build a studio here, you guys are going to keep your ass off the street. And it was like, yeah, okay. And they looked like, what the hell is this guy talking about building a studio in this community center? So this room that we're in right now used to just be an arts project, as in, you know, creative arts, and they'd write stuff and do, yeah, you know, like art stuff. But art to me is, there's many different types of art.
Yeah, there's many ways to get to art, and there's many avenues you can take to get to the same discipline. So
and it is all about artistic expression. So at that point I said, you know what, let me build a studio. I wrote to Canada Council of Arts, I got some grants, and this is the kind of things I'd been doing at Youth in Motion before. But we had a kicking studio here, and we had a man's like King K and even Iblast and some of the rest of them was in here recording. And these guys were so serious that we had cast traveling from Laval to here every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and they would literally, in a 2-hour span, they would record 4 tracks. They'd have a half hour each.
They were workhorses.
Yo, I'm telling you, man, these guys were hungry. And I said, just keep working on your art and perfecting your art, right? Mm-hmm. And then we kind of had the next generation. And my man, DJ TJ, who's in the building. What up? He's going to be our DJ for the evening. And when he's a little bit older now, but when he was, you know, what, 14, 15, I said, you know what, come here, man, you're going to sit down. We're going to talk to you after, you know. But when he was a teenager, I bought this controller. Because I was like, he said he wanted to DJ. You know, that was kind of in his circle, in his family circle. That's what they were getting into. But, you know, these young kids, just like me, you don't have access to this expensive equipment.
Yeah.
So he said, you know what? Let's buy this stuff. Let's keep him busy. And listen, TJ, you was in there on a regular Tuesday, Friday, he would be throwing a jam.
Yeah.
It was a straight party. The girls, the people would come just to hear DJ. Yeah, say that 3 times quick. And they just loved it. And he perfected his skills. And now we're going to talk to him a little bit later. But now he's out there doing his thing. Right.
Right.
And so this continued to develop. And then we was like, we just got some money from what's called the Music Counts Grant. I got to big them up for giving us a great donation. And we also had a Black-led organization grant, a federal government fund. We're doing something in that way. And again, it helps people's mental health, gives people a space to, you know, I'd rather have a teen come in here and rap in the booth about, you know, anything. Yeah. And I don't even care if you're right, if you talk about rah, rah, that kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Get it out in there, but don't walk with it out there and start doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. We talk about the lyrics and stuff like that.
Put it in the music, don't put it in the streets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and again, it's expression, and, you know, you let them do that. Maybe they have one song like that, but always challenge them. Okay, well, let's write a song about someone you love. Mm-hmm. Or let's write a song and tell a story. Mm-hmm. Or let's write a song about a dream.
Yeah.
Or let's listen to your favorite song and let's remix it.
Yeah.
And all these different avenues of developing, and, you know, it got bigger than music. I got to pick up my man D-Shay, who's going to be coming in a bit. And then it started to grow like the video, and we got the DJing. Now we've got like several booths where we can create music.
Yeah.
And we've got back in the day, we used to have a booth that had a toilet in it. Okay, I'll be honest. Yeah, there was a toilet in the studio, and literally people would put, you know, their handbag or whatever on the toilet as they recording.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, man.
It was, dropping shit.
Yeah.
That's exactly what was going on. My man D-Shay. And D-Shay just stepping in the building. So that was the vibes. We was building it up towards what it is now. And now you see again, man, everything I come together. I've also got to pick up my man Jay to the left of me, my man D Shade to the right of me, And of course, the man in the middle who ain't here physically, Trevor Williams.
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to let Jay tell a little bit of story about how that came together on your side, and then how this all started to mesh and build up, and we got something beautiful going on. So let me introduce my guy, Jay. Talk to him.
Yo, what's up, man?
Good.
Well, first, I mean, I want to say thanks, Zip. I want to thank Shade, you know what I mean? These two, you know, I came up in the hip-hop scene, you know, following these guys and looking up to them, you know? So part of the reason why I am doing what I'm doing is because of groups like Butter Babies and groups like Shades of Culture, right?
Google us if you don't know.
You know, these are the guys that I saw on Much Music and Music Plus, and I would take my VCR and I would hook it up to a cassette deck.
That's old school,
right?
Old
record school. Them so I could listen to the you know, Mind State and Understand Yourselves, you know, on my
throwbacks.
So that's I got started in hip hop through that, and by the time I was like 17, I was winning battles across the city, and I had a pretty good career with the groups Velvet Trench Vibes and Cannonhead. And shout out to Fred Five and everybody that was with me in that journey. So just to go back a little bit, I also worked at Youth in Motion.
Yes.
With Mr. Michael Farkas.
Yeah.
Okay, so I worked there for a couple of years working in their studio. And, you know, that was one of my things that I would go to for work when I wasn't, you know, on the road doing music or I wasn't in the studio doing music, is that I always been into community work since I was younger. And I always felt like I had a good knack for, you know, communicating and kind of being empathetic with the youth, as well as leading by example as far as you know, kind of, I mean, taking cues from you guys, you know, like the generation above me, you know, because when I was a 17-year-old kid walking into these hip hop clubs, it wasn't the same as it was now, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like when you got a dude that's already popular and already popping, right? And you got a nobody kid that's just kind of walking around trying to make it in the game. You know, there's two options. You could either just front on him or you could just embrace him. And, you know, luckily, the culture of our city and the culture of you guys that you guys presented is that you guys embraced me.
Absolutely.
So I figured that, you know, a cue from that was that, you know, I had a responsibility for myself to do the same thing. And I felt like I had the ability to do it.
Okay.
Long story short, after Youth in Motion, I was hired by Lynn Worrell from Project Word.
Big up.
Big up. Yeah, yeah. Big up Lynn Worrell, Project Word, which I'm still working with her, and they have some big things happening. So I got a role, I got a job working at James Ling High School in their studio alongside my partner, Nathan Gage, who does the music side of things.
Okay.
So while I've been with there at James Ling for about 4 years, and what I noticed was that students that I would work with in the studio that were incredibly talented, for one reason or the other, they would either switch schools, get expelled, you know,
graduate,
or, I mean, the studio wasn't, you know, a school is an institution, right? Yeah. So you need to follow certain rules, you know? So what you were saying about, like, my philosophy is a little bit the same as yours, where it's that I'd rather the kids be rah-rah in the studio instead of me and rah-rah on the streets, right? Which puts me in a kind of, you know, sensitive predicament while I'm doing this in school.
Right? School board, money.
Yeah, exactly. So my idea was that I wanted to create a space myself for the kids that I worked with who were still texting me and hitting me up while they were out of James Ling saying, like, yo, where can I get studio time? When can I work with you again? You know, is there a spot where we could go record? Is there a spot? Because they still wanted to continue their music careers, but their new schools or their new facilities or wherever they're at, they didn't have the opportunity.
Nah.
As well as people who had graduated, you know, recent graduates, kids who are 18, 19.
Yeah,
and
they ain't got the money to go into a studio and start recording.
Exactly.
Or the know-how to be able to put together a little setup at home.
They still need guidance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. And they need a producer, you know. And I mean, I feel like being a community leader and being a music producer is kind of like the same thing. You know, it's like you're there to get the best out of the person, in this case, to get the best out of the youth, but also stand by and let them know what their strengths are. And, you know, that is going to work best in life and music, right?
Yeah.
Just as long as they know what their strengths are. So that's what motivated me to look around the city and try and find an opportunity for myself to get something like that started. So after, you know, a little while thinking about it, I realized that, you know what, a lot of my students at James Lang were a part at one point of the Trevor Williams basketball program.
Ah.
Right?
You're the connection. So
there's a connection. And there's always been a connection between basketball and hip-hop.
Yeah, right? Of course.
So, you know, I mean? The connection. So it's like these kids. So on a whim, at the beginning of the school year, I called up Maureen, who is the mastermind behind the Trevor Williams Kids Foundation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can't believe how much work this woman does. She is absolutely a saint. Mm-hmm. I introduced myself. I cold called them. And I introduced myself. I explained what I did. I explained what I do at James Lang. And if you guys don't know, James Lang High School has a very, very, very extensive music program.
Yeah.
That is like, you know.
Absolutely one of the best in the city.
If not the best.
Yeah.
You know, they have two spaces. They have a space for band. Mm-hmm. Which we're in, like, I mean, a huge studio for the band side of things, mm-hmm. which is similar to School of Rock. Have you ever seen that Jack Black movie? It's literally School of Rock. Like, the kids are playing Prince, you know, in grade 8.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then on the other side of the cafeteria is my area, which is a fully loaded recording studio. Complete with like computers all around and a recording booth, an amazing control room. And I've been privileged enough to be able to work there for a while, you know, in that system. I continue to do that. But when I approached Maureen to pitch my idea of, you know, a space where kids who are not going to James Lang anymore. And, you know, I had a probably client base or participants mm-hmm. of maybe 5 to 10 people mm-hmm. That were constantly hitting me up looking for spaces to record. I asked them if they would be willing to sponsor me to annex the Trevor Williams Foundation and start a pilot project, which would be the Trevor Williams Kids Foundation Music and Recording Arts Program. Right. They loved the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right away they loved the idea. They said, "How soon can you come in for a meeting?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Yeah, you guys free today?"
I'm at your front door.
Yeah, yeah, right there. You guys free today? So shortly
look
after,
outside your window,
very, very, very shortly after that, I finally met Mr. Trevor Williams.
Big up!
In Westmount. And we hit it off. We talked a lot about music. He told me a lot about his time spent in New York in the 90s where, you know, he crossed paths with people like KRS-One and Heather B.
Yeah, you tell.
And, you know, drop names, show me some text messages, you know, that type of thing. And we hit it off, man. He's a great guy. And, you know, I'd never really known him outside of his reputation with basketball, which is, you know, nothing less than stellar.
Mm-hmm.
And he really, really liked my idea. So the only problem is that we didn't have equipment and we didn't have a space to record.
Yeah, those are important for a studio.
Right. So what I told him, I said, "I'll bring my equipment and we're going to record in your office." He says, "My office is the size of a closet." I say, "That doesn't matter.
We'll make it work.
We'll make it work. Yep.
So for the first 4 months of us doing this, I was taking my clients to an undisclosed location in Montreal. But it was the size of a closet.
Right.
An expensive closet.
I hope it didn't have a toilet in it.
No toilet.
Yeah, there's already an upgrade on us.
No toilet.
Good for acoustics, I heard.
No toilet. So we lasted about 4 months, and it was, they laughed at me when I said that we were going to record out of the office, but I was dead serious. I brought my equipment there, and I brought my clients there, and my clients couldn't care less where they were recording. They got a chance to make beats. They got a chance to do everything that they were doing at James Lang in a private setting. You know, like just a private setting. So my client base built a little bit to the point where one day we found out that in the office that we were working at, there was a doctor that was working after hours. We didn't know that.
Doctor working after hours. Okay.
Yeah. He's had an office up in the same building. So we got a couple noise complaints.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
which kind of shut the party down a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
And so I was kind of in a little bit of a rush to find, you know, a new spot and, you know, to upgrade a little bit, which, you know, serendipity, luck, fate, what have you, you know, I don't know where we crossed paths to talk about this.
Funny. First of all, and this is how D-Shay, I think you introduced us at the Hip Hop You Don't Stop event. That's when the first time I think I'd met you, or at least remember connecting with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, you guys got some dope stuff. There was, again, from James Ling. Rolls Royce Choices.
Yeah, shout out to Nathan Gage, my partner, and that. Yeah,
a dope video.
So that's it. So we got a budget from Project Word at the end of the year to, because every year what we do in the music program at James Ling is we make a mixtape with all the songs that we've created with the students throughout the year. And Mr. Nathan Gage and I, what we do is we take the songs and then we remake the beats and we touch them up and we have them professionally mixed and mastered, and then we put them online to be distributed everywhere through Spotify, through Apple, through everything. Now that's with James Ling. Now Project Word, what they do in coordination with James Ling is they had a budget to make a video for one of these songs, and they've done this for a couple of years.
Yeah,
this year, I, on my recommendation, I said we need to get D-Shay to do the video for this song, right? And one of the best decisions I've ever made, because the video turned out to be something that is just like it's I can't describe it with words. It was a
go
digital video. Yeah, you guys can
Google
check it. Yeah, Google it. Rolls-Royce Choices. By Jadella and Shea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing these guys introduce me. And again, I got a big up in Cote de Neige. They got their studio going, right? And I, you know, No Bad Sounds got to big them up. And
big up, No Bad Sound. Hey, well, I'll just cut you off just for a second, because Project Word, what we did was over the summer, we did a artist residency.
That's right.
Okay. And so we spent 8 weeks taking two clients, and I kind of got my idea to work here through that concept, is that we took two students a day for 8 weeks and on a regular schedule, and then by the end of the 8 weeks they would be they would have their own EP, or they don't have their own four songs. Working there with Nitai and Perry and Yama, I got to watch some of the best do what they do amazing. You know, these guys run that place like a
machine.
Well-oiled machine. I mean, what their philosophy was is that they have kids that have been in the program since they were like 13, right? And they have to wait 2 months to get recording time. And so they stick to it and stay patient, get their recording time in, and then just, you know, rise to the top.
Yeah.
Learn everything there is to know about recording, and then finally they get hired as engineers.
Yes.
Working it. So it's all in-house.
Yes.
It's like they draft within their own organization.
Exactly. And that's why I have TJ, who's here. He's going to be teaching the youngins how to DJ.
Well, that's it.
That's the whole philosophy.
So long story short is that...
And now I'm even remembering how our paths crossed. Like, so this is how our paths crossed, but not even on the level people think.
Yeah.
We met that time. We didn't even talk about it. He knew. I was telling you, we built in a studio, West Haven, da-da-da-da. And so West Haven had our 50-year anniversary, and we needed to have some donations of food, right? And so...
My wife... shout out Nilufa.
Yeah, Nilufa. Yeah. She had a restaurant downtown who has some of the best falafel. Oh my God, it's real delicious, man. And the hummus. So we had her volunteer to make some stuff. And she called me that day. She said, Steve, I'd come drop it off. I can't, but I'm going to send my husband down to drop it off. Right. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Some delivery dude, whatever. And so he shows up. He's like, I'm like, yo, wait, you're the dude. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's
I said, yo, why don't you come check out the space here? So I briefly said, okay, look, here's the studio. And it wasn't as it is right now.
No.
Right?
No.
But then from there, we started thinking, hey, so you were, and I was needing engineers. So now I was like, I've always been like, build it and they will come. Yeah. So now I've built it, and then they will come. But Steve is only one guy, and they teach them all these different things. I was like, oh my God, okay. So it happened to be a perfect crossing of paths at the right time.
That's right.
And it was to be. So then Trevor and I and Jay have been building, again, with word contribution to, she's even hired Cedric.
Well, that's the thing. We took a cue from No Bad Sound on that one, is that, you know, Cedric, when I was working at James Lane, my first year, Cedric was in Sec 5. Cedric Forbes. Shout out to Cedric Forbes. One Drop Drinks. One Drop Drinks. And so he was my guy at James Lane. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the Sec 5. I wouldn't say he was incredible right away, but he showed so much potential.
And again, he lived down that block, and he used to come here as a youth.
Right.
So he knew the space. I know him. I know his brother. I also got to pick up his pops, Pie, and all the rest of that, man. Then this all came together.
Yeah, well.
Guys, I appreciate the flow of the conversation, but we are in radio land, and we do got to pay some bills. We got to do a little promo as well, because we do have two tickets to give away to the New York State of Mind 2023 tour with Wu-Tang and Nas. They're going to be in Laval on the 2nd of October. So how are we going to do that?
We'll have TJ. What, you want to play a 1-2 tune?
You're going to play the ad first, and then you'll play,
and then we're gonna come a couple of music.
And then we'll come back with some music, and we do have a couple of interviews later on that we do need to get to. But keep it locked, because you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Wu-Tang Clan and Nas present New York State of Mind Tour 2023. Front of the line by American Express offers card members pre-sale ticket access to see Wu-Tang Clan and Nas at Place Bell on October 2nd. Pre-sale tickets on sale now until Thursday, March 2nd at 10 p.m. Visit Ticketmaster.ca/American Express to purchase tickets and to check for the latest policies on close proximity events. Ticket limits and terms apply. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't live life without it.
You go bow for the result, though. Nothing to discuss, cause I did win by default and without any doubt, though. I'm a me happy adult, though. I no go feed the girl. I'm a mind that should be talk. I put my life into my job, and I know I'm in trouble. She manipulate my love. I know holy, and I know that they're both like a baba fry.
Beside you, back the wall of Jericho. They don't know, they don't know, they don't know what's going on. Wanna get so, my baby boy. I'll be a soldier for you. I'm getting better and hopeful. You should know I got, and you don't need to guide me to. I'll be right beside you. In anything that you do, if you ever need saving, I will be running to you, running to you. I've been running to you, running to you. Anywhere that you go to, running to you. I've been running to you, running to you.
My baby, my Valentine. Can I hit the making with temperature today? If you leave me, I'll go down. I swear. You are like the oxygen I need to survive. I'll be honest. Love it, they don't need me. I am so obsessed. I want to chop your heart. Never need a back of this feeling.
for them on my knees and I pray for my needs. That listen to my heart, amen to my prayers, I did my team. I don't say some still doubt, I won't take drum, but we never forfeit. Cause I know say, but in God no be do, no they exist. So I'm not in this that we they wait. It's been a while, I'll be they meditate. I don't say me, I go elevate. So we go be telling me, I'm going to do it. Very soon, say the bank go elevate. Say amen to my prayer, make it no delay.
Puff, puff, pass, my Mary Jane. I'm high on life, wanna meditate. So allow me. Problem not the finish, oh, eh. Every day different, wahala. Problem not the finish, oh, eh. I just wanna battle every day. I just wanna battle every day. So pass me the dachi. Pretty girl, come wine pon it. Ten toes, one girl, make it touch it. Touch it, touch it, touch it, touch it.
Listen to DJ TJ. You got a locked on Soul Perspective. You're going through until 8:30. Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am in studios with the one and only Ziplocs.
Yeah.
That is Ill Groove Garden. Ill Groove Garden, you know him from Ill Groove Garden.
And each we cover every Sunday night. Last hour of the week is the best hour of the week. Me, DJ Blaster, Mystical Flex, throw down that funk.
Yes.
So I like to play, again, those local Montreal artists. So any artists, definitely hit us up. So
Speaking of which, I heard you play one of my tracks and you didn't even know it was me.
Yeah, yeah, we just playing tracks, man. We like to throw all kind of tracks. Bring up my man Shogun.
Yeah.
And again, this is the whole circle of things. Again, people that I've worked with and connected with in the past, I try to get them involved in community work. So the next piece of the puzzle, again, we got to big up Trevor Williams, his contribution, and getting Jay in here and all the rest of that. And we're still continuing to build on things. But the next piece of the puzzle was I need somebody to teach kids how to do video stuff and animation and graphic design and all the rest of that. And ching, my man D-Shay, my boss Kenny's been trying to get D-Shay and me together in a while.
I was going to say, shout out to Kenny Whitaker.
Yeah.
Before I was even thinking about rap, it was community centers. Walkley Center, which was in an apartment building at the time. Benny Center, where I ended up working at with the kids over there for a long time as a counselor. And Kenny actually was one of the workers that was working with me. And, fast forward a bunch of years, so I don't give away his age, but fast forward a bunch of years. And he's the director for all of the West End centers.
Yeah, really, big man in the community that deals with a lot of different centers and gives us a lot of advice and support.
Yeah.
So big him up. He's been trying to draw us together, and now you've been here kind of for that. Actually, since my birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've been here. And what are the things you're looking to bring when it comes to your involvement here in the studio?
Well, my background, besides music, is in graphic design, web design, 3D animation. So I'm doing a lot of that these days, and it's something that can actually benefit the kids, especially stuff like web design, for example. Yes. There's work. West Haven will need updates.
Or, yes.
You know, the basics all the way to actually building the website from scratch. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Over here, knowing that there's a music program, shout out to Jay, shout out to you guys, and shout out to the people that have blessed you with the equipment to make all this possible. Because of that, I find the music and visual go hand in hand. So
nowadays, that's what it is. When I ask kids, how do you watch music? And we can even ask kids after. Most of them say, I listen to music on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And often it comes with a visual. Absolutely. And so if you have better visuals, you'll probably have more people watching your ish.
Better visuals. And another trick is, you know, we used to read the album sleeves to read the lyrics. Now you have the lyric videos.
Yeah,
put up and the lyric videos. They just run their favorite song the whole time, but they're learning the lyrics at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, at the James Lane studio, that's what the kids do.
Yeah.
That's what they all do, man. They just sit in front of the lyric videos and just rap them. That's how they kind of get their chops, man.
And that's exactly kind of what got me interested in doing something like that here. After Jay put me on to the Project Word project, shout out to Lynn and the whole gang over there.
Juliana, Rihanna.
Yeah. They told me they needed a video. I said, I'll definitely do it. What was interesting about that project is it was all done with footage that Jay shot just on the fly, just to show them what performance shots were like. And we ended up taking that footage, cutting it out, putting it out on different backgrounds. But
yeah. It looked fantastic at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unprecedented like that, James. Like, I mean, the other videos that we shot were dope. And, but this one just took it to a whole other level, you know what I mean? And for high school kids and watching themselves in this really, like, cool, like, you know, imaginary environment through digital editing and digital art I thought that was fantastic.
And that's the whole next domain I really wanted to tackle. And now, basically, after March, the March break coming up next week, pick up all the kids who got time off of school and parents will have to deal with them. but yeah, after the March break, we're basically offering, you know, I call it a creatives academy. So all these different creatives, whether it be in music, whether it be in writing, whatever, you can sign up and you can actually get, you know, your own mentorship from some of these professionals that are out there, have been years doing the thing and now are perfecting how to share that knowledge and skill to the next generation. And
the tools are here, literally.
Yeah.
I loaded up that computer that we're going to use for that with all the proper tools.
So, and this is the thing, you know, we were on the radio on Sunday talking about it, like, me and Blast was here looking like, imagine if we as young kids, we had access to all this kind of equipment, right?
Yeah.
It would be a beautiful thing. So, and this is also, again, we also got to remember how important this is to some of these kids. And now I have to kind of get into the story of a young man that used to come here, right? His name is Nikas
DeAndre Spring.
Yes. And you might have heard his name in the news of recent after his life was lost in the Bordeaux prison.
His life was taken.
Yes.
Taken from him.
Yes.
From his family.
At 20 years old.
From his nephews and nieces.
Yeah. And he was a major party. He used to come. He was a part of our team program, part of our leadership program. We went on, I mean, I took him on trips to Toronto with us because he was a leader. He was, you know, and he would keep his nose out of trouble. Even here in the center, you'd be one of those guys. And I always give the example that, you know, when teens carry on here, they make a mess and the rest of that. And I come and I say, listen, guys, I'm locking down the space unless it's cleaned up. I'm going to come back here in 10 minutes. It has to be cleaned up. You guys are all leaving.
Yeah.
I kind of have to tough them up like that. And he would be one of those guys that, like, even if it isn't me that did it, I'm going to clean it up. Yeah, okay.
Because I want
to stay here. And I just respect. You know, so he would do that. Right. And I used to call him my big gentle giant. Physically, he was a really big guy.
Yeah.
And again, you know, when I would get, I remember another experience with him is getting tickets to a Canadiens hockey game. And I had three people I could choose. And I chose him and two of his buddies. And we all went to hockey game. And what really hit me is I was there with one of his brethren and him talking about, you know, I had that experience of traveling to Toronto with Nikas and going to see the Montreal Canadiens game. And this is something that West Haven had given to him
But we didn't know that that would be his only opportunity to see a hockey game or to travel to Toronto in the same way and stuff like that. So these opportunities that we do give kids means a lot. And our kids' lives mean a lot.
Yeah.
And 21 years old is way too young to have your life taken from you.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It leaves, you know, people. And we're going to get to an interview now with his sister. And with his mother.
Yeah, we spoke to, these interviews are pre-recorded. We spoke to Serafina Denny, which is his sister. And you got a chance to speak to Niket Spring.
Yes.
That is his mom. So we're gonna go to those interviews right now. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is a special broadcast all the way from West Haven, and we have guest host, who you know, the host with the most, that you know from Ill Groove Garden, Stephen Ziplocks Hennessy, is in the building.
Yes, what's good, what's going on, folks, Soul P family? I gotta thank you, Kim, again, for helping us bring this to the airwaves, and we're here talking about West Haven, and in recent news, if we're going to talk about West Haven, we also have to talk about one of our fallen soldiers, and that would be Niket Spring. You've probably heard about him in the news.
Yeah.
He was a 21-year-old who life was lost while in prison at the Bordeaux prison, and there's been, man, a lot of discussion about the circumstances, and, you know, we're still waiting for some answers. And I'm blessed enough to have some of his family here with us. And we have Sister Serafina here. Yes. Thanks again for coming down and being open to speak to us. So I have to start off with the beginning of, and I knew him personally, but I want you to let the listeners know exactly who was your brother. Who was Niket Spring?
Hi, everybody. My name is Serafina Denny. I'm here to talk about my brother and to share with you guys a little bit about who he is and who he was to the community and to us as a family. So Niket, he was like passionate about music. He loved to play basketball. He loved to box, play boxing, and he was very much a family guy, like to everybody. Like whenever you see him outside, he was always so happy to see you. Like he didn't see you for years. Like, the type of affection that he gave to you when he meets you outside. He was always respectful to me. We never had like no type of disrespectful argument or anything like that. He was always shy. Like he would not tell me certain things because he didn't want me to, I guess, know as his big sister. But he will still be open to me, like tell me certain things, like what happens with him, around him, especially with girls. Like he always introduced me to like his friends, like most of them was girls, you know.
Right.
Like there was no type of jealousy or anything with any of the girls that he knew. They were always cool with each other, like, you know. I don't know what he did to do that, but like,
I didn't tell that secret.
Keep those secrets.
Yeah, like, everybody was like very cool when they were around each other. So
I mean, that's one thing I remember from Niket, because he used to come and participate here at West Haven in the studio and the rest of that, and he was loved by many and all. Yeah. And he would always, every now and then, he would come in with some new people and be like, yo, come, this is West Haven, and he would kind of show them around. But he was just a very friendly soul. And I guess one way to describe him, I always looked at him as this big, gentle giant. He was physically a very big boy from he was 14 years old. But I think his biggest part was his heart. And he was always, even when, you know, kids would go to the store and they'd buy a bag of chips, right? And, you know, the bag of chips nowadays only has a certain amount of chips in it. But this guy would always be sharing with everybody. Mm. Yeah. So that's a spirit that Nikas would bring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now I know there's been a whole bunch in the news of this and that, but I guess I ask you as one of the family members, what do you know of that did happen to Nikas? And then we're going to kind of get into where we want to go from here with what has happened and how to, you know, get some justice for his life.
Mm-hmm. So Nikas was arrested on December 20th, 2022. And he was supposed to be released from prison on December 23rd, 2022. And he was not released. He was in the prison of Bordeaux, mm-hmm. in Montreal, Quebec. And
no worries, take your time. Mm-hmm.
So we're not really getting much information as to what happened to him. There's just a bunch of like journalists posting things on the internet. So the stories that we're seeing, like, we don't know if it's actually accurate, but mm-hmm. we do know that he died in the hands of the authorities, which was in the prison of Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a family, you're hearing and you're seeing and you're reading these things, and, you know, I guess the word frustration comes out to my mind, but how do you feel when you do read this, but you're not getting the answers? You've asked for answers.
Yes. So I feel like really hurt. It's frustrating. It's really sad to see, like, the journalists, they're getting more information than his own family, which is, I feel like, it's really unfair. Like, it's been close to 2 months, like on February 25th, 2023, it will be 2 months since his death, and we still haven't been getting any answers, and every day it just gets more frustrating. Hurt inside, like the type of feeling that I'm feeling inside is very hard to explain. It makes me very angry, and there's not much I can do right now with that, but what I'm gonna do is fight for justice for my brother till the end.
Now, that is one thing we have also done to try to bring some attention to this situation and this story, and that was a march that was held recently.
Yes.
Right? And Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that was, and I guess your feeling of being able to voice your opinion during that time?
Well, the march that we had was on
February.
Sorry.
February. That's all right.
It was in February.
It was the 10th of February.
10th of February.
Yeah,
that's right. It was a Friday. It was very cold, and I'm not sure if they estimated how many people came out to support.
Yeah, on February 10th, 2023, around like 1 p.m., we had a march and a rally downtown at the McGill Gates, mm-hmm. I believe.
Started at the McGill Gates.
Yes, and we marched up to the courthouse. It was very cold that day, and I'm very thankful for everybody that reached out. It was more than 100 plus people that showed up,
wow.
including children,
yeah.
older, elderly people, teenagers, and middle-aged people. Like, everybody came out, and we're all demanding justice for Nikas, and we asked for them to release the tapes that they have with the incident that happened to my brother,
mm-hmm.
and we asked that they reveal the prison guards that killed him,
mm-hmm.
or that was a part of his death. Everybody, like, we need everything to come to light. We don't want them to hide nothing. We need the truth, and we need answers.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I was at the march, and I saw people of all ages, races, come together in love and in peace. And it was a peaceful march, right?
Yes, it was very peaceful.
Surrounded by police, making sure they're watching us and everything else like that. But we came in peace, and there were many messages that were and chants and slogans for him. And, you know, hearing you speak about him, again, breathes life into his memory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I guess my question is, where do you want his spirit to guide us now? Like, what does justice look like for you?
Every day I wake up, every day I go to sleep, I pray that the ancestors, God, everybody, and the spirit of Nicholas to literally bring us light to this event, show us, guide us, like, lead us through everything for them to give us the truth, because most likely they're going to be covering stuff up, but with his spirit, with God and the ancestors, we must get the truth and we must get justice.
Okay. Now, I know there's also a legal element, right? And I know you and the rest of the family working together as a team to try to bring justice. So where is that part in the process, and where do we see this going?
Well, it's going to be a long battle. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a hard fight. But I'm fully equipped for that. Like, I ask God for health and strength. And I ask my brothers for his protection as my angel right now in the sky. So just lead us. Help my legal team. Like, show us everything. Help them, like, get answers that they're not giving. Mm-hmm. We need that.
Mm-hmm. And those answers need to come out. And I guess I always question, when we don't put everything on the table, what are we trying to hide? Right?
Yeah.
The other love part about this story is that in Nikas' death, it has brought the community together, whether it be at the march, whether it be at the vigil. And, you know, we have restaurants that have come and each taken a turn each day of the week to supply some food for you. What do you want to say to some of those supporters, to the people that are either hearing about this the first time? How can people help you, the cause, and in everyday life avoid this from happening to somebody else's brother or son?
First of all, I want to thank the community. I want to thank everybody that's supporting me and my family. I want to thank West Haven, all the centers that he participated in, that's reaching out to me and my family to get justice for him. I want to thank everybody for all the help and for us to bring change for the future and for the younger boys like Nikas, and even younger than Nikas was.
And you have a son?
Yes, I have an 8-year-old, and he was very close to his uncle. Mm. And I have to deal with him and his emotions plus mine, you know? It's like, it's very hard right now with him. It's very difficult to even understand his grief because he's a kid, you know? He doesn't know how to express his own emotions.
Yeah. And obviously very hard for me to understand. Maybe you even want to tell the story of, you know, how Nikas had left your home and what his plan was when it comes with your nephew, with his nephew, your son.
Yeah, so like a week before the incident that happened at the prison Bordeaux, he actually came, he messaged me and he called me down. He's like, "Hi sis, I have a gift for RJ, you know?" And I was like, what is it? He didn't want to tell me, it was a surprise, you know? So he showed up at the house and he gave a big hug and he gave everybody a hug. He went inside of the room because he didn't want me to know what the present was. So he went inside RJ's room and he made him open the gift earlier than he was supposed to. And the gift that he brought was the Black Panther. And that, it's like, I don't know, I have chills right now because Halloween, October 31st, 2022, my son, he wore the Black Panther costume.
Yeah.
He told my mom, which is Nika's mom, Nika's, which is RJ's grandmother, Nika Spring.
Hey.
She bought him the Black Panther outfit for him to wear for Halloween.
Hey.
And I don't know how Nika's knew that that was his costume, but I don't know, it's all connected. He just showed up with that gift.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wow, well, a beautiful spirit, gone too soon.
Way too soon.
Yeah, we definitely see rest in power, but again, his legacy will live on. And again, he's unfortunately another one of those young brothers where we have to say his name out loud.
Yeah.
Nika Spring.
Nika Spring. Nika's DeAndre Spring. He was supposed to come back to my house as well to bring my daughter a gift. Mm. And he didn't get the chance to do that. It's really sad. My daughter, she's only 2. And she didn't get to spend much time with him. Mm-hmm. And he was here. Mm-hmm. But he was very close to her as well. Always playful. Mm-hmm. Always spoiled them.
Well, yes. I got to thank you again.
Yes, thank you very much for coming in and speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know this is not an easy topic of discussion at all.
Go ahead. And I'm just asking everybody in the community that heard about it, that didn't hear about it, if you could spread the word and tell everybody about what's going on to help Nikos get justice and help his name live on. Mm-hmm. Also go on YouTube and listen to his music, share it, YK Lyrical.
Yes.
And just hashtag justice for Nikos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Justice for Nikos.
Justice for Nikos.
Justice for Nikos.
Justice for Nikos.
Yes.
Justice for Nikos.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and play some music. We're going to play some music from Nika's DeAndre Spring, and we're going to hear from his mom, Nikette Spring, a little bit later on. We're here with Steven Ziplocks Hennessy, Jada Parkinson Gale. You just heard from Sarafina Denny. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. We're going to take a quick break, play some music. Justice for Nikos, that should be the last thing that you think about this evening. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT. 90.3 FM.
Justice for Nikos!
Justice for Nikos!
Yeah. One set of footprints in the sun, and you are rumble and a school, you think it should have been two. Remember one thing, me, you the father God of the plan. So when you see one set of footprints, I gotta carry you.
The day his life was taken, she didn't know he wouldn't come back. He died from the bullet of a gun, and now her little boy's gone.
She said, "Help me, Lord, help me." Then she looked up to the sky, and she heard a voice reply.
I'm here with Nikos's mother just to briefly talk about her son Nikos Spring and just, you know, who was he to those who have heard the name but don't know the actual person behind the name.
Hi, I'm Nikos's mom. My name is Nikos Spring. I'm talking about the behalf of Nikos. He was a good son of mine, and I'm very sorry for his loss, because it mean a lot to us. He was a nice kid, and then even though me and his people wasn't speaking, he still said, "Mom, someone is looking for you outside." And I said, "Oh, don't give nobody my phone number," but he still give people my phone number. But we lost him, and I'm so sad right now. I'm stressed out, not working, and everything is not going my way. Sometimes I'm going and walking and I'm lost. I'm feeling very lost. I cry every day because I lose Nikos. But he was a good kid. Everything was okay. But
so for this, you know, it obviously it means a lot to our community, but as a mother, to not have the opportunity, and he's your only son.
Yeah, he's my only son.
What is it like to now
It's my only son, and I lose my only son. Sometimes I'm speechless.
Mm-hmm. You know, to anybody else as a parent, I guess, who has their, whether it be daughter or child, and words you would say about how to cherish each moment with your child. after this whole experience?
More love. Because sometimes when you talk to their children, they're not listening, but they're still your child. And it doesn't matter what. A child is a child. So to lose a child is very hard. And that was my only son. I raised them from small, me alone, no father wasn't for them. Only was me, my mother, my sisters, and everybody helped me out with them. And I bring them to Canada, things life would have been better. But I end up and I lose him. Now I have my two daughters with me now, so I'm gonna fight till the end. I'm just fighting for justice for Nikas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not gonna give up.
I think that's beautifully said. We want to thank you again for your time. And again, those who want to support Nikas and the whole cause and gaining awareness and a change in a system that resulted in this young man's loss of life, please go and support. There are ways, reach out to us, CKUT, and we'll find a way to support the family.
And the 13th of March is his birthday. He's gonna be 22. So we lost him on his birthday too. So he's not here to celebrate, to say happy birthday to him. But he's in a better place.
Wu-Tang Clan and Nas present New York State of Mind Tour 2023. Front of the line by American Express offers card members pre-sale ticket access to see Wu-Tang Clan and Nas at Place Bell on October 2nd. Pre-sale tickets on sale now until Thursday, March 2nd at 10 p.m. Visit Ticketmaster.ca/American Express to purchase tickets and to check for the latest policies on close proximity events. Ticket limits and terms apply. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't live life without it.
Check 1 2 1 2. We are back. You were just listening to an interview with the mother and sister of Nikas Spring. Again, the young man's life who was lost in the Bordeaux prison system.
Yeah.
Again, was a youth that used to come down here at West Haven. You're just tuning in. You got Soul Perspective Live. You got the regular host, Kim.
Yeah. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Each and every Tuesday. So
each and every Tuesday.
If this is your first
evening.
Time tuning in, this is not just a special. It is special.
This is a special.
But every Tuesday, you've got a lot of incredible black content. So the black community and around, please come follow and support.
Dope. Yeah. Just for those of you who are tuning in, we are giving away two tickets to New York State of Mind, Wu-Tang and Nas. They're going to be here in Laval. They're going to be performing at Place Belle. But we do have, this is Teen Talk.
Yes.
And we do have a couple of teens in the building with us, and we have a veteran of Soul P.
He's youthful still.
He's youthful, but he's a veteran of Soul P. Take it away, Zip.
Well, let him just introduce yourself. People may know you from your music. We'll talk about what you do here, but go ahead.
Yes, I'm getting up in age. Yeah. Peace and blessings, family. It's Jamal Hussein, aka Jamal Spence. You may know me from my music. I've been on Soul P, showcasing my music.
Been on El Groove Garden, we play him.
Past, yeah, that's right. You know, and I've been on. Was it during the pandemic?
Yep,
our last interview, talking about my transition into, you know, mental health and cuisine and things like that.
Yeah.
But why I'm here tonight and what I'm excited about is now that, you know, we are more or less getting back to normal, we can be here at West Haven running the programs that we had intended to in the past. So I'm back here excited to, we already got the ball rolling.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm here to, continue to bring that content, continue to bring my personal experiences, my personal knowledge in the field of music, engineering, whatever it is. And just get the new generation of teens that are excited as Nikas was. I had the pleasure, I had the honor, the opportunity to record some of Nikas's first tracks here at West Haven. He was the first artist I worked with. So for me, you know, hearing the news and, you know, even before hearing the news, I was able to reconnect with him, let's say around like October, November, and just seeing the excitement on his face of just seeing me, somebody that helped him bring out his art, you know, that just motivated me to say, you know what, I really have to get back into West Haven. We really have to push this program the way it's supposed to be pushed, so the youth have this place and other places where they're able to use it as an outlet.
Yeah.
And really, you know, do something positive.
As I always say, you know, any youth that is in here is one more youth off the street, one more youth that's not in prison or doing anything negative or home alone or maybe in an abusive situation or scenario. So again, we're open on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday for teenagers. Again, look us up on Instagram, on Facebook, West Haven Community Association, on Instagram, and really just come down. 7405 Harley. Again, we're broadcasting live. We're on Soul P.
And as we're talking about the youth, we do have a couple of the youth.
It's time for teen talk.
It's time for us to talk to the teens.
Let's get the teens up in here, man.
Introduce your teens, man.
Well, I'm going to let them introduce themselves, man. They here, they doing a thing, and they... I mean, some of them have been here for a while, and some of them is, I'm going to talk to you later, young lady, and this is what I would call the second generation, as scary as it sounds for me. So first, I got my guy to the left. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Let him know.
My name is Kaysen. I'm 15. I've been coming to West Haven for a really long time. I think the first time I came here, I was like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And so, that's when I came here.
Exactly. So this is... And you live real close.
Yeah, I live real close, right across the street.
Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you, from then to what it is now, what is this community center meant to you?
This community center is everything. I think, like, it's, to me, it's like if I took my first step in here, like, everything I did, this center was behind it. Like, all the influence, everything was in the center. Steve was a big help.
Okay, I'm just here, man.
Steve's like a father figure, you know?
Oh. I got many sons and many daughters, I got to tell you.
And this center is like my life.
Yeah, and this is a guy that he's in here, like, anytime I open up. I come often and he's outside, like, okay, Steve, are you opening up now? And sometimes a little bit late. But, yeah, he's really involved here in all the different aspects. Now, I also know from when you first came in here, as you've seen it today, I know you've probably seen some changes, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? And again, also going from being a young kid in here to now being a teenager.
The changes are nice. Like, I mean, West Haven was always nice, but now, like, we're getting to a different level.
Yeah, it's nice.
We renovated the studio. We got a gym. We're starting to do more stuff. You know, it's more activities. We could go in the studio now. We could start freestyling or, like, could sing our heart out, you know?
Yeah.
And still play basketball. So, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like an all-access. Everything that a teen could possibly want is here. I know you guys have a gym set up right outside the studio. I think it's brand new.
Yeah,
there's
going to
be a program for that. You have the court, indoor
basketball court. Yep.
And you have this studio for people to get creative in.
Well,
and
we're
multiple
everything.
Things within the studio, too.
Yeah, you can
do...
You
got the music booth.
Music.
You got a DJ booth.
Yep.
I guess you got the production booth
as well.
We got
the video. And now, as we're using right now, we got the podcast station.
And you have the podcasting.
So these are all the different things that, again, I literally sometimes I go home and I dream about, okay, if I was a teen, what kind of space would I want? And I also listen to these young people.
Yeah.
And they've talked about the music. Some of them talked about working out. And we literally asked these kids. I don't know, Kitim, if you remember when
I was there.
You.
They made us like write it down on a board what we wanted. So it's good that we had a role in like what we wanted. And
And that's where I want ownership of this community center. And when I'm in here, often, like I said before, sometimes teens get a little bit, you know. And sometimes I have the teens check the teens and be like, yo, this is our space. You can't come in here and mess stuff up because then we lose access to it. And we don't want that to happen, right?
It's accountability.
Absolutely.
Accountability between each other, because I mean these are life skills that they're learning. If you're teaching them to be accountable and to hold one another accountable, you know, you're teaching a generation of people to like be responsible for one another.
Yes, and our teens come here. Also, I got to big up my man Zoo, who's helped us work on the workout space. Again, another youth that used to come here. Again, he went through his things and now he's matured and now he owns his own gym and his own workout space. Young brother, you know, in late 20s, early 30s, he's got everything set, but still gives back to communities. And when he did a big fundraiser for us, and this fund just kind of helped us continue to grow. So big up him. And now I got to get to the young lady. This is your first time on the radio, so she may be a little bit nervous. Just check it out. 1, 2, say hello.
Hi, my name is Kaylee. I've never been on the radio before.
It's all good. Just take breathe.
Deep breath. Girl. See, this is a beautiful thing about live radio and young people, man. I love to see it, man. She was very excited about coming here, and she's doing well. Girl, it's okay. Hold our hands. It's okay. We're going to make it through. So I'm going to tell a little story about her while you get your breath. Now, this is what I call second generation. She came in here one day, and she starts spitting off. And when she came to the door, she goes, "Yo, I heard you have a studio. Yo, let me get in the booth." And I said from the door, I said, "Okay, come, get in the booth." I said, "Get in the booth." And she starts spitting. She's like, "Rah, rah, rah, this, da 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 da, my dad from downtown, da 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 da, trigger." And I said, "Stop." I said, "Get out the booth." I said, "Your father is who?" She said, "Yo, my father's name Trigger from downtown." I was like, "You're Edmund's daughter?" She's like, "You know my father?" And I said, "Okay, yeah, so look, call him right now." So I talked to her father, and I'll be honest, it's been a beautiful thing since then. You've been here like almost every day.
Yeah, I came here every day, and like, I don't know, I love coming here to do the music. I love the people here. I love everyone here. I love everything.
Okay, so, and this is why I want to talk to these young people about what this place means to them and what this place, and I even want to talk about it on a mental health level. What place would you be if there wasn't this space?
Okay, so if I wasn't here, honestly, I don't know what I would do. I think I would go crazy because, like, I don't do nothing else. Like, I just, like, I don't know. I just come here and, like, I just express myself, you know? Like, all the people here, like, they understand me. They accept me. They don't judge me. There's none of that there. And, like, when you're here, you just focus on what you want to do. Like, when I'm here, I just focus on my music and on my friends, and we're always having a good time. There's never nothing bad. There's no bad vibes.
Yeah.
Like, everything's just good.
I wanna ask you something though, because we had a very short conversation. Mm-hmm. You were very concerned with blackness.
Oh, for sure.
Come closer to the microphone.
Talk about that.
Let's talk about it.
Well, I think that black people and like blackness in general, like everyone should know about black culture and about how we are and about how just everything, because we're such a beautiful culture, and so many people are like, they don't know enough about it, and it's not a good thing. Like it's not like, it's Black History. It's the end of Black History Month right now, and the only thing that they're teaching in schools is about slavery and stuff. They never teach the good things. They never teach.
It's always my issue.
They never teach like all the powerful things we've done. They never taught all the inventions we've made and created. They never taught nothing.
Break it down, sister.
They've never, like, black people are. Without black people, what is there really? Okay, let me stop.
No. We have 15 more minutes. We could keep going.
No, but I like this vibe, and it's a good question I want to put out there, is like, what is being taught in the schools? Like, how do you feel about when you're in school?
I don't even feel comfortable. Sometimes, I'm not even going to lie, like, there's, like, I don't feel comfortable going to school. Like, I know that sounds stupid, but like, yo.
It doesn't sound stupid.
It's just like, the teacher's like, they're all so uneducated. Like, they're teaching us about black stuff, and they're teaching us over and over. Like, the most they'll do is play a documentary, a one minute documentary, then play a black song, and then Black History Month is over. Like, they don't, or like make a poster. Like, they don't teach us all the right things we should know. Like, who invented the street lights, who made chips, all that stuff. Like, we did that stuff. Yep. Who made ice cream? We did that stuff.
Cool. Yep.
So like,
we made irons. Mm-hmm. We made toilets.
We made flat irons. All of it.
We made a litany of things, and all of this was made, yes, during slavery, but it was to facilitate our lives.
Yeah.
In order so that we don't have to suffer.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I find black culture is such a beautiful thing. Like, I just,
and it's extremely diverse as well.
Yes,
that's the beauty of black culture.
There's Scotians, there's Vinci people, there's everyone, bro.
Yes, and even each island had its own flavor, and each African country has its own flavor. Mm-hmm. So this whole blackness is one in a whole, and it's Black History Month. I mean, you could do a special just on, you know, what Black Canadians have contributed, let alone West Indians. mm-hmm. you know, let alone black people that lived in South Africa and South America.
Mm-hmm.
So all
and
these
the
different
Nova
spaces.
Scotian, the Nova Scotian black history is so rich.
I gotta big up another thing that I'm involved in, which is actually mm-hmm. a part of West Haven too. So myself and Dr. Sabrina Jafrali, mm-hmm. we actually have a Canada Heritage Grant to go around and document some of the black spaces and faces that have contributed to Canada.
Wow.
So that's something that's going to be coming up. So keep it locked.
Yeah. All right. So we got another teen with us.
Go ahead. You there?
So my name is Andrew. I'm 15. I've been coming to West Haven for like 2-3 months now.
Okay. What's the vibe? What you feeling so far?
I love West Haven. It got me through a lot. And I started coming here because of my friend Kaysen. He told me to come, and I was like, I'm gonna come, you know, because it looked cool. And they told me there was a studio and everything, and that helped me through a lot too.
When you say you went through a lot, like,
yeah.
do you feel comfortable to talk
yeah,
to
I don't
us
mind,
a bit
I don't
about
mind.
That?
Yeah. So before West Haven, I just suffered from an overdose.
Mm.
Yeah, and after that overdose, I was starting to get into music a little bit. And I was like, I want to go into music, you know? So I came here and it was just chill. Like, nobody's judging you when you're rapping or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't care. Like, you could be messing up, but like, nobody care.
Yeah.
That's one of
well, it's not that nobody
no
cares.
Judgment.
It's that they're,
like, they don't
they're
judge
encouraging.
Yeah, exactly. They don't
you're
judge
encouraging
you.
You.
They're like, I just do it again. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
That's
because you have to have a space to make mistakes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think that is one of the issues. It's like we our society is so focused on perfection, and
yeah.
like people are looking at social media and all of these so-called perfect pictures and stuff
yes.
like that, and
yeah,
they're not
but,
seeing
like,
that
it's all fake. 90%
yeah,
of the time it's also fake.
90% of the time it's fake. Mm-hmm. The other 5% of the time you don't know what's going on behind
on the
scenes.
Other side.
You know, you're seeing all these relationships that are supposedly great,
all
but they're really beating the snot out of each other off screen.
Later on, you hear all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. And the pandemic really kind of compounded that because domestic violence shot up
throughout
the pandemic.
Well, actually,
you know,
that's
we don't even talk about the effect on children.
Oh, and that's what I was about to ask you guys. As young people, again, with the pandemic and going through that experience compared to what you have now. And my question is, do you feel you value a space like this? Because this building was closed
so
for 2 years.
This, like, coming here is like, it's one of the best, it's one of the funnest things for me to do. Like, I actually enjoy waking up and then saying, you know what, later on I'm going to West Haven because all the vibes are on point. Like, there's nothing could go wrong here. Like, there's no fights here. There's nobody judging you. Like, everyone's been saying, like, it's just a fun place to come to. And, like, I just love, I love music so much. So coming here is, like, really a good place for me.
I was actually in disbelief. Like, I didn't think this, like, a place like this existed. Like, there's a studio, like, especially for me, I wanted to get into music, right?
Mm.
And over here, we have all the equipment for a studio. And it's not, like, no bad equipment. Like, it's
and we don't charge people, just
exactly.
to be clear.
Everything
is
free.
Everything
is
free.
Everything yeah. is completely 100% free. And you come here, like, whenever you want, but when it's open, like, they don't obligate you to come, you know, like, there's not, like, oh, the door closes at this time and this time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you come in, you come out, like, you can go, and there's deponers, too. So
yeah.
if you're hungry and everything. And it's
yep.
like, it's amazing to me that like a community actually made something like this.
Well, again, this is all based on yourselves and also past youth that we'd worked with and saying that this is exactly what they wanted to have. Now, I want to get back to, you guys talked about, we talked about the pandemic. Now, how did you guys get through this pandemic as teens, or how do you feel you are coming out of it? And that's one thing, I don't know if we really know how much, and we're going to continue to learn, how much this pandemic and the after effects and the ripples, especially on our children, as you said, Kim. So talk about it.
Well, before the pandemic, like, I was in school, and like after that, like, just life actually literally changed. Like, I feel like everyone was just upset after, like, everything, like, there's so much like negativity going around and stuff
mm-hmm,
after
mm-hmm.
the pandemic, and nobody was really happy. Everyone had to stay inside. There's a curfew, all these things, like, you have to take in mind all these things. It really took a toll on everybody. So it's like, now that we're like kind of coming out of the pandemic, it's like, it's a better feeling. And yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of scary, you know, Cal.
Yeah.
It is scary.
Especially when they set the curfew, because it's like, basically,
control.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they have, I feel like that's too much control. Like, they can't really tell you to stay in their house. Like, you're still a human, you know?
Yeah.
And who knows what they were doing. Like, maybe they were doing something, like, on the streets or whatever. Like, the government, all that.
Yeah.
Like, you never know what they can be doing too.
Yeah, it felt like we were living in a police state. I mean, I personally, because I had work, so I had to have an authorization paper that I would walk with, because I was working the night shift at one point, and sometimes I had to leave my house before 5 a.m., which is when the curfew supposedly was lifted. And it felt like we were living in a police state. But one of the things that I appreciated about it is that, unlike what we see in the movies, people didn't go completely bonkers and start bombing the place. And
it was toilet paper. They went bonkers.
Yeah, there was a little toilet paper pandemic.
There was a toilet paper shortage. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like it was mostly scary because, I was young at the age, so like I wasn't out like at that
time. Exactly, we were in elementary at these times.
But I was.
So, and you guys went from elementary to high school during a pandemic.
Yeah, like when COVID happened, I was in grade 6, and then I didn't even do grade 7, and then after that, it was just, well, I don't even know. Did I do grade 7?
I was in grade 7.
I don't know.
Okay. Grade 7.
Yeah, there's like, it was just a long thing because like they didn't want us, like all of grade 6. Like I think. That it was homeschool after that.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah, and I think, again, we're only going to really find out. How has it been you find with your peers or even your parents?
Well, everything is different. Like, there's a lot of things we couldn't do. There's a lot of setbacks, you know? Like, we couldn't, like, even, like, going outside, you have to wear a mask. Everyone is, like, everyone's paranoid. And I caught it. And, like, I caught COVID, and it was messed up. Like, COVID is not a fun thing. Don't catch that.
No. People will stay away from you. Like, it's actually crazy. Like,
it's messed up. Like, people, you have COVID. Like, get away from
me. Like, even for months. Like, even after you don't have it anymore, they'll wait, they'll wait 2-3 months before they even start talking to you again. Like, they'll text you and everything. They'll act like they care, but, like, they don't come close to you or anything. Wow. And they stay far from you.
Okay, that's what it is.
It's very isolating. Mm-hmm. It's very.
It can be. I feel like
it's very.
It's a depressive thing.
Yeah, I feel like COVID was like a really big depressor for teens.
So now coming, as we see, we're coming out of it, or we're on the way. I don't even know what direction we are. What do you think you guys need to get yourselves back on track? Like, if you felt like COVID had you kind of tripped up and lost your steps, how do we get you young people back on track?
Go ahead.
I feel like school, like, especially with school, like, because I was in Sec 1 and Sec 2, like, when COVID and all that was happening. So I was getting, like, homeschooling from online, like everybody else was. And when we were on homeschool, everything was easy, like, everybody was cheating and everything. So, like, nobody was actually studying. I mean, I'm keeping it real. I'm not going to lie.
And I even said that. I said, okay, so you're going to do tests online and they're at home? And, like, these kids have these things?
We literally can find the answer.
I'm not joking. Like, I don't know one person, even the smartest people I know, nobody was studying. Like, nobody was studying.
Taking time for school.
But the thing that we didn't realize at the time, because we were like, oh, okay, 2 years of this, easy. We're going to pass. Easy, easy. But the thing we didn't realize is that it's going on the long run. Yeah. Exactly. It really messed us up. It really, really messed us up. Even now, almost everybody. Now, when you look at whoever's looking from primary school to high school, you can see the note differences. All my friends, everybody I know, is everybody's failing. Everybody's failing.
It's crazy, too, because while you're set back, I see also a whole bunch of people passing too and actually putting in the work, but those are the smart people. But like, for the people who thought like COVID was a game and stuff, and like you don't actually have to pay attention because it's just homeschool, like, no, it's actually a big thing. Like,
And that's the thing with like compound knowledge. Like, you need a foundation of one. Like, you need, you know, to know the ABCs so you could spell, so you could write an essay, so you could write a thesis. Like, all these foundation skills might have been lost. I never even thought about it. This is why it's beautiful to sit down and talk to these young people, my teens. Again, Stephen Hennessy, West Haven Community Center. Here we are live. My man Kim, we are on Soul P 90.3 FM.
Yeah, and you and I have been in talks.
Yes.
We're going to bring back Teen Talk.
Yeah.
Once a month.
Yep.
Every month.
Let's do it.
Starting in August. So, teens.
Yes.
Y'all, hello.
Yeah, teens, y'all late. Yeah.
So teens, once a month, the last Tuesday of the month, we're gonna do the live broadcast from West Haven.
Let's do it.
Starting in August. Actually? Yeah.
That sounds good.
Actually,
I'm very interested in that.
All right.
Yeah,
so we want to hear your point of views. Stephen and I will host, but you guys are really going to be doing all of the talking for the shows.
But what we're going to do is, we're going to get you guys, by the end of this, our goal, and we talked about this before, is to kind of pass it on to a next generation.
Yeah. So y'all can take over the radio show.
Exactly.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah. I felt like, especially with everything we're doing in West Haven, already with the music and everything, if you guys add in the radio, I feel like some people, they might be getting into the radio business and all that. Like you might like influencing people and talking to people, because already music influences people around.
Yeah.
And it, you know.
So we're going to be back in West Haven on August, the last Tuesday of August. I don't have the date in mind right now, but next week, Tuesday, we are going to be talking to Matthew Pfeiffer, who is a psychiatrist based in Texas, and he's an expert on narcissistic personality disorder.
I know a couple of people
talks a lot about that for both men and women. So we're going to be talking to him next week on that. But this brings us to 8:27 p.m. We do have to sign off. My name has been King Donnie Ferguson, my guest host,
Steven Ziplock Hennessy. And I have to thank you, Kim, again, for opening up the airspaces for us, for
our
teams.
It's more than a pleasure.
We had, if you missed any minute of it, www.ckut.ca. Download it, take us with you in the car, download a little MP3 and continue to listen. And again, thank you to the teens, all the other people that came here.
Thank you.
To kind of spread the word.
Say your name, please. Mm-hmm. Say your name, please.
Geneva. My name is Kaylee Ann Geneva, but I like calling myself Geneva.
I like that.
And
I'm Azu.
Yes. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
My big man. Take it away, DJ in the background. Boom.
Getting better and hopeful. You should know I got, and you don't need to guide me to. I'll be right beside you in anything that you do. If you ever need saving, I will be running to you, running, running, running to you. I'll be running to you, running, running, running to you. Anywhere that you go to, running, running, running to you. I've been running to you, running, running, running to you. Anywhere that you go to.
My baby, my Valentine. Can I hit the making with temperature? If you leave me, I'll go down. I swear. You are like the oxygen I need to survive. I'll be honest. Love it. Bye.
go down on my knees and I pray for my needs. That listen to my heart, amen to my prayers, I did my thing. I know say some still down, I won't take drum, but we never forfeit. Cause I know say, but in God no we do, no they exist. So I know to know that we dey wait. It's been a while, I'll be there meditate. I know say me I go elevate. So me go be tired, I'm just holding your direct. Very soon, say the bank go elevate. Say amen to my prayer, make it no delay.
Puff pass, my Mary Jane. I'm high on life, wanna meditate. So allow me, make I enjoy life. This problem not the finish, oh eh. Every day different, wahala. Problem not the finish, oh eh.
You listen to DJ TJ. You got a lot on Soul Perspective. You're going through until 8:30.
My love no get shame, no matter the case.